Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions.
Pure life is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of don'ts. It's all about the do's more than about the don'ts. And you know, when a lot of times when kids are taught to live pure and you need to do this and don't drink and don't do this and don't have a girlfriend, don't have a boyfriend, don't cuss, don't, you know, whatever all the don'ts are that are out there, it can feel like a struggle, like in that video. But when you start living your life for the Lord, to please Him, and you are doing things because they keep you in the blessing, all of a sudden it gets easier because you're living in the blessing. You're not just trying to keep a law, you know, a rule, but you're doing things to please the Lord and you're going to be blessed. And life is sweeter. And really, all you have to do, the things that we're going to talk to you over the next couple of months, the next few weeks, we're going to talk to you about making the right choices. We're going to talk to you about a better way to do things. You know, you could, how many of you have ever, you know, a lot of bottles now, this is what I was thinking about, a lot of bottles now, you twist off the cap, whereas when I was a kid, you had to have an opener to open them all, you know? But the Cokes, how many sixth graders have been to my house for Christmas and had the Christmas Cokes, right? They don't twist, do they? And you can twist and twist and twist, and the thing is not coming off because it's not made to do that way. When you find out the right way to do something, it's so much easier. When you are trying to get into that Coke and you have a bottle opener or a good old ice pick, right, Super Giz? You can do it, and it's not a struggle at all. But it's when you, as long as you're trying to do something in a way that it's just not meant to be done, you're going to have hardship. And I say that because God has a plan for you. Yay. Isn't that awesome? Yes. He has a plan for you. In the next couple of sessions, we're going to be talking about that plan. We're going to expose the lies of the enemy. Yay, right? He's not going to trick us. Who wants to know enough about the devil so he can't trick you? Yes. I want to know how to beat him up, not have him beat me up. Don't you? Yes. And so we're going to talk about his methodology, his MO, the way he operates. He's been operating the same way for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and it's about time somebody figured it out, somebody listened to the Lord. And it's about time some super kids learned how to defeat the devil so he is just not a problem for you as you're growing up. Isn't that good news? Amen. And so tonight I want to encourage you that the Lord has a plan for you. And what do we call that plan, guys? The what?
Sweet life.
The sweet life. He has got the sweet life all lined out for you. And the good thing about it is you don't have to figure it out and work out on trying to figure out what you're going to be doing. All you have to do is find out the plan from somebody that's not trying to keep it a secret from you.
That's right.
That's just not that hard. But as long as you're trying to figure out your own deal, as long as you're making choices that are not what God wants you to choose, you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be like trying to open that Coke bottle with your hands. It's just not made to work that way. And I'm going to show you, we're going to start out tonight in Genesis. We're going to turn there in a little bit because we want to see how God started out, don't we? If we can see how He started out, then we'll know how He wants us to live our life. You know, when we talk about pure life, I think that sometimes, well, I don't just think this, I know this because I've heard it from kids sometimes. It's like, oh, brother, I don't want to hear that. Pure life, oh, that sounds, maybe they think it sounds dull. Or really what they, the first thing kids think when they hear that word, pure life, they think, they're going to tell me I can't have a boyfriend. Or they're going to tell me I can't have a girlfriend. That's the first thing that comes into kids' minds sometimes. And this grief comes. Like, oh no, I'll never get to have that. Oh no, everybody's going to think I'm weird. Oh no, I don't want that. I want a boyfriend, or I want a girlfriend, or I want to do things the way my friends do them. Those are the thoughts that come. But let's just talk about that word pure life for just a minute. What is it? Pure life. You know, when we talk about pure water, do you go, oh, yuck, I don't want pure water. What do you think? I can tell you what you think if you're out in the desert and someone says, would you like some pure water? What would you think? Yes. Oh, yeah, you bet. You know, when things are dry, when it seems like things are hard, you want something pure to get you over. When you're out in the desert, you want that pure water. What about pure gold? If someone were to say, hey, I have this big old lump of pure gold. I found it in the garage. Would you like it? What are you going to go? Nah, I don't want that. That old stuff. What are you going to say? Yeah. Yeah, pure gold? It's pure gold? Yeah. Pure gold. There's a reason they stamp pure on things. There's a reason they put pure on things when they want to sell it. It's because when it's pure, it's supposed to be the best. It's supposed to be unaltered. It's supposed to be the best you can get. What about, guys, pure adrenaline? What do you think when somebody says, oh, man, that was just pure adrenaline? What do you think? Oh, boring. Is that what you think?
No.
What do you think? It's something was awesome, right? Well, why do we not want pure life? Think about that for a second. What did Jesus say about life? In John 10:10, in the New Living, it says, I came. Of course, the word says the thief came for what?
Steal,
kill, and destroy. That is what he came for. That is what he does. That is what he comes at you to do. So anything he might offer you has that behind it, doesn't it? Anything he might have to offer you, the enemy, has that idea behind it. That he wants to kill you. He wants to steal something from you or everything. And he wants to destroy you as much as he can. Now, you know what? You guys are so blessed. You live in a good home. You got great parents. You got parents that will teach you the word. You go to a church where you can learn the word and where you can learn how to be strong in the Lord. Y'all are blessed. Y'all just need to look at your parents right now and say, thank you so much. It's the truth, isn't it? You're blessed. And so your parents, they're praying for you. They are actively using their faith on your behalf that you're protected. Your parents are probably since the day you were born, they've been praying for your future spouse. Parents, anybody? Since the day you were born, they've been praying over your future and believing God for you and pleading the blood of Jesus over you. So, you know, the enemy is very limited in what he can get away with in your life, especially at the age you are right now. But what he'll do is he'll sneak in some ways that we're going to talk about tonight so that you open the door to him and give him a place to come kill, steal, and destroy. There are some ways where you give him permission to have a part in your life. It amazes me when I see teenagers especially, see, I spend so much time with you guys, and y'all are excited about the Lord and excited about the Word of God and excited about preaching and excited about being at Super Kid Academy. And we just love that. I love being with you guys. And then it amazes me that in a year or two, I see kids change from being excited about Jesus to starting to look at some of the things the devil has and goes, that looks kind of fun. I think I'll try that. To see kids go from knowing what the truth is to beginning to wonder if something the devil has might be fun or good for them in some way. Let me just answer that question right now. His stuff is not good. You know, the Bible says, the Lord says that the blessing it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. You know, so the things that you want some fun things, get them from God. He's the one that's got the most fun. And he doesn't add sorrow with it. But the devil, everything he has that's out there that you might grasp or taste has a big, long, a string attached to it, directly attached on the other side to kill, steal, and destroy. There's not anything he has that doesn't have that in mind for you. And he may only be able to hurt you a little, or he may only be able to affect you a little bit because of the prayers of your parents. But I'm telling you, I've seen him affect kids pretty good when they give themselves over to what his plan for them is. And we're going to talk about that tonight because we don't want his plan. His plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said in the New Living, it says, I came to give them a rich, satisfying life. What does that sound like? Sounds like the sweet life to me. Jesus came to pay the price, and he did it, to give us a rich and satisfying life, pure life. I mean, that could be an ad in a magazine. You try this pure water. It is rich and satisfying. Or better yet, try this pure chocolate. It is rich and satisfying. Super kids know I quit eating sugar after the New Year, so I've been talking a lot about food. Cupcakes and Pop-Tarts. And anyway, I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's the way the advertisers, this is rich. This is satisfying. So I guess we're up here these next few weeks to advertise to you about pure life. It is rich and satisfying. And in the Amplified, it says, he came that we might have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full, till it just overflows. Life so much in abundance that it just overflows, and you just can't contain the life that you have. Now, doesn't that sound better than kill, steal, and destroy? But it's your choice. Jesus came. The devil's there. He's waiting for your choice. The Lord came to give you a choice. You know, we didn't used to have a choice. Till Jesus came and purchased it back, there was no choice. Aren't we grateful? I'm just so grateful. So, let's talk about that. Pure life, I've got down here, it's not about not dating. The Lord, this was in the very beginning when I first started teaching about this idea 4 or 5 years ago. Back then, it was a lot of it. As I was teaching it, it was coming out as, don't date. That was what it was coming out as. You know, I love that Psalm 101. Y'all need to read that and get that down in your heart. We don't use it a whole lot in our class to teach on. It's really just there are some passages in the Bible that are just like they're decision passages, you know. It's written in Psalm. It's almost like a pledge. It's like a pledge or a promise that you make to the Lord. And I love it because it contains pure life. More of the things besides dating. It's like the things that you're going to do with your mouth. What are you going to do with your friends? What kind of friends are you going to have? All of that is wrapped up in talking about pure life. But the Lord said to me, he said, it's not about not dating. It's not about not, he didn't say this, but I'm going to add to it. It's not about not cussing and not doing this and not doing that. Those are all results of choosing pure life. He said it's about not experimenting with your own choices. In other words, the Lord has a plan laid out for you. And then there's this other direction you could go. Other ways of doing things that you could do. You know, you could decide, I'm going to let the Lord write my plan, and one day He's going to present someone to me that belongs to me. That person belongs to me, and He made me for that person and that person for me. But until then, I'm not having anything to do with attaching myself to someone else. That's a choice that you can make for pure life. Or you can say, you know what? I want to have a girlfriend and I want one right now. Or I want to have a boyfriend and I want one right now. And that one's cute, they'll do. That's kind of the way it works. At least it did, you know, years ago when I was your age. Then the next week it's somebody else. And you're making a new choice all the time about attaching yourself to this person or that person. So it's a choice that you make, but it's not about the don't do this or don't do that. It's about saying, I'm doing it God's way. It's about saying, I'm going with His choice. And then living your life according to what He says to do. And then living the blessed life, the sweet life the whole time, and not getting hurt, not being having your heart ripped out, torn apart, stepped on, stomped on, and made fun of by a bunch of kids that don't know what's up and down. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's a choice. And it's about not experimenting with your own choices, but going with God. The Lord said to me then, maybe last year or the year before, He said, you know, pure life, because I started thinking about it as pure life, it's this program we do. Pure life, it's this message I teach. And it is. It's a message we teach. It's a message you live. It's a program that we've set up, and we do it every, we start in January every year with the fifth and sixth graders and the high schoolers. It's those things. But the Lord said to me, it's not a message. It's not a program. Pure life, He wanted you to know, is a place that I'm calling you to. The Lord said, pure life is this awesome place that I have that I want you to live. It's a level of life that, if you want me to be honest, very few of the adults in this room probably have lived at that level. What do I mean by that? I'm not criticizing your parents or me. I'm just saying the Lord has a higher place for you to go than we went. Or a higher place for you to start out at than we ever knew existed. I wished I'd known. There's something else to consider in all this, and that's this. When I was, how old are y'all? Like 11 to 12, when I was your age, you know, I was not offered even a portion of the things to put before my eyes that you have available to you that you can look at, that you can read. Information. If I wanted information about something, there were very few sources that I could go to find information. I had my parents, my teachers, and some friends that weren't too smart. You have those same three choices, but you also, there's a world of internet. You can access information from all different kinds of sources. You have more freedom than your parents did when they were your age. There is more out there that is harmful to you than when your parents were your age. Things have changed. You know what the Word says? That where sin abounds, which is what it's doing right now, sin is abounding. You know, when little 11-year-old girls are getting pregnant and 8-year-old kids are alcoholics and on drugs, I would say that sin is abounding, wouldn't you? But what does the Bible say? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. You need more information than we did. You need something bigger, more powerful. You need a revelation from the Lord about a life that He has, even more than we did, because so much more pressure and so much more junk is out there trying to get at you. And I'm telling you guys, you know, Jesus is coming back soon. And so, you know, the Bible says He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Guess what? I think you guys are that church. I mean, he's going to take us too. But have you ever thought about this, Super Kids? You have an opportunity to live a life based totally on what God has for you. Where will you be in 10 years if you decided today to live your life totally based on what He wants and totally listening every day for what He wants you to do, where He wants you to go to school? That's just as much pure life as talking about relationships. You have worked to hear your parents and to listen to what they have to say to you so much that at 14 years old, you're as smart as they are. Did you know that's the way the Lord wanted it? The devil tries to get in and put separation there so you can't get as smart as your parents are until you're their age. How many generations and generations and generations has he been doing that to families? And that's all he has to do is get in there and separate the kids from the parents. And then there's not communication. Kids don't want to know what their parents have to think. They want to go do everything on their own and make their own choices. And parents get fed up because they can't communicate to their kid and say, fine, go make your own choices. That's the way the devil gets in there. But we're not going to let that happen. Amen. This place that the Lord is calling you to, what kind of miracles when you speak will happen? What kind of miracles when you lay hands on somebody and somebody's arm grows out? That's what he is wanting you guys to live at a place that we haven't even seen. We haven't even heard of. He's got plans for you that are so big. That's why we called you Super Kids. You're going to be super. You're going to have a super life, a sweet life that people can't even imagine. And you're going to draw people to you because your life is so amazing. That's this place that he's calling you to. You know, we were praying last year over Pure Life, and the Lord just really did some things in our prayer time, and we're just praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, Lieutenant Deborah just started praying. It just took on this something different. And as she was praying, I began hearing the Spirit of the Lord. And He wasn't talking to me. It was almost like He was having these thoughts and He was letting me hear them. Wow. I'll never forget it. And Lieutenant Deborah, at first she began praying in tongues, and it was very, very grieved. It was very sad, like crying. And Jesus said this, and I heard Him, and He said, "My kids' feet are not on holy ground." He was talking about you. He was talking about this generation of kids who were attracted and caught up in things that are not holy. They're not on holy ground. And then when she was praying in tongues, it got real vigorous and almost violent. And Jesus said, "Get this out of my temple." And He said, it was more vigorous and loud than that. I just don't want to yell at you. He was mad. And I pictured Him in the temple when He came in and He turned over. Remember the story? He came in and He turned over the money changers' temple. In the temple, turned over their tables where they were selling stuff in the temple, and that place of worship. This is my Father's house. This is a place where you come and you worship my Father. This is a temple. And He ran that stuff out of there. But what He was saying about you because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the temple of my Father, and there's stuff that's being let in that doesn't belong. Get it out of here. And it just, didn't it? That day we were all just really stunned with the passion that Jesus has about you getting this. So as we go through all these things, I don't want you to just think, oh, this is just a message, or this is Commander Kelly's just preaching to us, or Lieutenant Commander Kim or Lieutenant Chris, they're just preaching. It's just another sermon. It's not. It's a call. It's like a wake-up call to you to make some decisions that will affect the rest of your life. So it's a super serious thing. But on the other hand, you are going to get some stuff lifted off of you that you've been burdened with that you are not going to have to mess with anymore. There's going to be some things happen between you and your parents. They're going to make life so much easier. Amen? Are y'all with us? Okay, well then let's see. We want to find out what the Lord had planned in the very beginning for us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see God's plan here. In verse 27 it says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign, be in charge over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.' And then God said, 'Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, all the fruit trees for your food, and I have given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life, I've given you the supply for it.'" And the Bible says, and that is what happened. And it says that he looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. He made this garden, okay? And we're going to see that later on here, it even says he made everything to grow. Now, one thing about the blessing, he put that in the garden. He blessed them. He set them up. He said to them, we're going to read, keep it, watch over it, be in charge of it, tell it what to do, multiply, go out and you just go out and multiply. Make this garden bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I've made everything to grow. Do you think there was a weed that dare pop its head up in the garden? No, if it did, what would happen? He could just say, weed, you don't belong here. Get out. Have anybody ever come home one day and your room was just a total wreck when you left for school or wherever you went and you came home and it was totally spotless? Anybody ever? Or a closet or anything like that? Anybody ever had that happen to you? What a wonderful feeling. It happened a few times to me. It was a wonderful feeling, and Mom had spent all day, or Dad had spent all day cleaning up your room. And what was the first thing? They surprised you with it, they loved on you, and they said, well, I just wanted to bless you. And then they said, just keep it that way. That's not hard, is it? And they would give you a 10-minute speech about how much easier... how much easier it is to just keep it clean than it is to have to come in and do a major overhaul with a tractor and bush hog or whatever it requires to clean your room, right? So they say, just keep it. And that's really what God said to them, because the word says he made the trees to grow. He did all of the work for them. Everything was planted. Everything was put in. In fact, you know, one job we see that he gave Adam to do was name the animals. Do you remember how God had him name them? Who can remember how God set that up for him to name the animals? Do you remember? Did he have to go down, go and round them all up? What happened?
God just brought them right by. He brought the animals to him to name. He didn't even have to go out and get them. God did the hard work. All Adam had to do was just be in charge. You know, I think I could do that. How many of y'all are good at being in charge? All he had to do was keep it clean. Because the blessing was at work in the garden. Everything worked. Guess what, guys? That's the way our life ought to be. If we're doing the good things that God asked us to do, if we're obeying Him, if we're obeying our parents, in fact, what does the Word say about being obedient to your parents? Obey your parents and... I noticed more parents said the answer to that. I know y'all know that scripture. Yeah. Obey your parents and things are going to go well with you. Things are going to work for you. And you're going to live a long and satisfying life. That's the sweet life. And that's what happens when you're obedient. That's what would have happened with Adam and Eve. If they had just done things God's way and chosen the things that He said to choose, the garden would have expanded. They would have lived a long and satisfying life, and everything they put their hands to would have prospered. In fact, so much so, it was like that, so much so that even after they fell, people still operated at this high level of thinking something, saying it, and they could do it. Because in the Bible, it talks about the Tower of Babel, and He had to confuse them. He had to give them confusion in their heart, in their minds, because they were still thinking, saying, and they could do it. Anything they wanted to do, they could do, because things were still like that. And when God spoke confusion to them, they could no longer operate that way. But guess what? Jesus bought that back for us, that we can operate where we see what God wants for us to do. We speak it, He makes it happen.
Amen.
And life doesn't mean you won't ever have to work, but you don't have to toil. You don't have to sweat at it. It's not hard. God makes things work. You're blessed. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's the way it was in the garden. Here's another thing that I love. When Rachel and Lindsay and Jenny graduated from high school, each time they graduated from high school, I did this huge party for them, a big, big old luncheon. I have no idea what I'll do for Max. I guess I can't see having a nice, frilly luncheon for him. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe a barbecue or something. But we had this beautiful luncheon. I had it at my mom's house. It was so pretty. And I'm telling you, I worked and worked and worked. I cooked and cooked and cooked. I had things collected to decorate all the tables. There was like 80 to 100 people at each one of those luncheons. I had done the main table for all of the girls in their class, and it was beautiful. And each one, like when Rachel graduated, the whole table represented Rachel. And then Lindsay, the whole thing was everything she loved. And then Jenny was everything she loved. You know, it was just their personality, and they worked real hard to bring that into the whole place. Tables all beautiful and arrangements and food, and it was just great. They loved it. But I remember being up at 2 in the morning the night before. But when I was done setting things up, decorating all the tables, I remember looking at it and going, they will love this. This is good. They're going to love this. And that's the same spirit that God looked at the garden, looked at what He had created, looked at the plan that He had made for them, looked at this place and this home that He was going to put Adam and Eve, and He looked around and He goes, this is good. This is good. Now, let me just say, my version of good and the Father's version of good are probably very different, because I work at thinking as big as He does. He's the only reason I can think as big as I do. And so what He might call good, or what I might call good, He might go, psh, that's nothing. So when He says it's good, it must have been really good, right? because there is this story about this man who had played golf with this rich Arab. And he was a good Christian man, and he played golf with this Arab. And really, this Arab just had really began to like this man. And he said, "I want to buy you something. What do you want?" And so he was thinking. He goes, "Well, I don't know what to ask for." And he goes, "So there was this golf club that he had, you know, that he had wanted. He had seen it in the store." So he told this sheik, he said, "Well, I have been wanting this golf club." And so the sheik said, "Okay, I will get that for you." So he thinks, you know, he goes home and he thinks, "Well, you know, that'll be nice when that comes in the mail. I'll go play golf and that'll be awesome." So a few weeks later, he gets a knock on the door and there's a limousine out front. And this man says, "I've come to take you to your golf club, to get your golf club." And so the man says, "Oh, okay, well, maybe they're going to let me go pick it out." So he gets out, gets his stuff, goes and gets in the car. And they drive, you know, a little bit. They drive to another section of town. And they pull up to this beautiful, beautiful, humongous country club with an 18-hole golf course, swimming pools, tennis courts. And the man says, "Here's your golf club." So where his thought of a golf club is a golf club, you know, the guy who has unlimited money, his idea of a golf club is a country club. Well, I think that's just probably a fraction of the difference in our thinking and God's thinking about good. So he does this and he says, "This is good. He's going to like this." Now, let me just stop right here and say he's done the same thing for you. He has created. The Bible says in Psalm 139, he created, he wrote every moment of your life before you ever lived it. He's created a plan for you. Jeremiah 29 says, "I know." He's like, it's just that same sense of "it is good." He goes, "I know the plans that I have for you, and they are good. They are to prosper you and not to harm you. I can't wait for you to live the plan that I've made for you." Don't you think he's waited a long time? He has waited thousands of years for a generation to come along to walk in all that he bought and paid for us. Because we've never walked in all of it. We've let people before now, before you have let, we didn't know. There's stuff we didn't know. But you guys know so much. You know as much as I do. My word, I've been teaching you for the last whatever years. We've all just been pouring into you everything that we know. We have not held back on you at all. Here you are, a generation that could step into the fullness of what Jesus bought and paid for you. Oh my goodness. He's waited a long time to see somebody take it and go, "I want it, I'm going to live it, and I'm not living anything else." And it's you. It's you. You have that opportunity. Anyway, so when he says, "I have these good plans for you, I know what they are, and you're going to love it," it's the same way that he said, "Oh, this is good." He has made a plan for you that he put a stamp on, and he goes, "This is good. I made this plan for Renee. She's going to love it. I made this plan for Dylan. This plan has got everything in it that Dylan's going to love." And then, according to Ecclesiastes, he put eternity in our hearts. So he's put all those things, all the things that we would need, all the pieces of personality or whatever we would need, he put those on the inside of us. You know what else is on the inside of us? All the things that need, all the prosperity, all of the even finances that need to come to be manifested, to get you to the place through the plan. If he has planned for you to go to the most expensive college in the whole wide world and be the best attorney there's ever been and then be president one day, then he's put all those finances on the inside of you to just speak out and say, "Come." They're already in there. Isn't that cool? That's the way he did in the garden. Everything was done, was there for them that they needed. And so let's look at Chapter 2, verse 8, let's just read a little bit more. It says, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and he placed the man he had made. And the Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. He just made it happen. Trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watered the garden and flowed out of Eden and divided into four branches. And then it goes on to talk about the rivers. It says in verse 15, the Lord placed the man in the garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. They had one responsibility and one rule. Man, doesn't that sound good to you? I have so many more than that. How many of y'all have more than one rule in your house? How about more than one responsibility? How would it be if we could just pare that down to one rule, one responsibility? You think you can handle it? Could you do it on a daily basis if that's all you had to do? Sure, if you made a choice and if you decided that's what I'm going to do, you could do it every day. Well, that's all they had. There were all these trees in the garden. They could eat of all of them. The Bible says there was delicious fruit. All these trees in the garden. And in fact, it's the two special ones, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was just the one. They could have eaten from the tree of life. They should have. He didn't say, don't eat that, don't do this, don't do that, can't do this, can't do that. He said, you just have a ball in this garden. This is yours. It's just one thing. Tend it and keep it. Don't. And when he said keep it, he probably meant don't let serpents come in and lie to you. Don't let weeds come up. Don't let strangers come in and tell you something different. You are in charge of this garden, so keep it. Keep its borders. Guess what, super kids? You're in charge of your heart. Your parents can teach you what's right. We can tell you what's right. We can spank you when you don't do what's right. But when you're all by yourself and you choose to let something in your borders, you choose to let something in your garden or in your heart that doesn't belong, you can make that choice. Then you probably get spanking. You'll probably get found out. But I'll tell you one thing. You will, unless you repent and you get a discipline. That's why your parents' discipline is to give you opportunity to repent and get that out of your life. Because otherwise, you'll open the door to the enemy. And you'll have to deal with the stuff he brings into your garden, just like they did. That's your garden to tend and keep. So they just had the one rule, the one responsibility. And we're going to see, I think tomorrow night we're going to talk about the rest of that chapter 2. But I want us to skip down to chapter 3. And it says here that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? You know what? The devil, first of all, did God say you can't eat the fruit from any of those trees? Is that what God said? See, Satan always twists. He'll take what your parents said to you and he will twist. Have you ever had him say, did your parents really say that? Did your mom really say you couldn't watch that show or just that it was a suggestion? You know, I mean, a lot of times I think we can be as parents, we can be more clear because I find myself and I've, you know, made myself stop this. But I would say, why don't you do such and such? And what I mean is, go do it. Yes. But I'll say, why don't you do such and such? And kids sometimes hear, oh, that's an option there. And so as parents, we have to be clear. But, you know, guys, have you ever had the devil come and say, did your parents really mean that? Or your parents, they don't really know that this show's not that bad. What do they know? They've never watched it. My parents would not let me watch Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie. And I just love those shows. And there were many times that I chose to watch those shows. I think, you know, of course I didn't turn into a witch. My parents weren't afraid. I mean, praise God. You're glad, Lieutenant Commander. She says, we're glad. I didn't turn into a witch, but I'll tell you what I did. When I was your age and I chose, when I was home, to watch those shows because they were funny, I planted little seeds in my heart of disobedience. Well, that wasn't so bad. I can do that. I can get away with that. And I didn't even realize it. Never realized it till I was a grown-up. But little seeds like that that you plant of disobedience, where you disobey in something small, or you think it's small, it's not about that thing. It's about obeying. You know, when you don't take out the trash and you were told to, it's not about the trash. I mean, everybody's going to survive if the trash doesn't get taken out. But you've planted something in your heart and in your life of disobedience. And the devil will use it. Because that's exactly what he's looking for. He's looking for a heart that will allow disobedience. Instead of a heart that says, nope, my parents told me to do this. There's not much the devil can do with you. There really is no way he can get to you when you will not be disobedient. You don't belong to him in the first place. And when you won't be, when you refuse to be disobedient, he just has no authority over you whatsoever. There is just not anything he can do to harm you and hurt you or get you off track. Isn't that good? And all you have to do is be obedient. All you have to do is keep that little responsibility or that little rule. But look here, he started here with a question, and I put down here point number three. His method is to question authority. And you're going to find that he uses that on you a lot, if you'll let him. I want to back up just a little bit, though, as we talk about the enemy's plan for us, the sweet life in the garden, that's God's plan for us. That plan he created for you, and it's got your name on it, and it's not anybody else's plan. That's his plan for you, and it's a good one. And he wants you to choose that. But Satan, he's got a plan, and it's for no good. But I want you to realize here for a minute why he plans such things for you. I want you to realize why you should decide, I'm never listening to him ever in my life. And that is that he hates you. He hates your guts. Did you know that? He does. He hates you. And probably, maybe, he has good reason to hate you. We'll just be sympathetic to the devil just for a second here, okay? You're going, what? I mean, I don't like him, and I'm not sympathetic to him. But let me just describe to you what happened to him. Satan decides he's Lucifer, right, in heaven. He's anointed. He's in charge of all the anointed angels of music. He's Lucifer. He's beautiful. The Bible said he was beautiful. And he got a little impressed with himself, I guess. And the Bible says that he said, I wrote the scripture down there in Isaiah for you. You can go look at it. He said, he didn't say, I'm going to be bigger than God. I'm going to be bigger than the Most High. No, he didn't say that. I guess he had enough smart for that. But he said, I will be like the Most High. That's what he said. And guess what happened to him? Tell me what happened. He got kicked out of heaven. The Bible says, I saw him fall like lightning. He got kicked out, didn't he? For what? For what? For what? He's never going to be like the Most High, but for saying, I will be like the Most High, for exalting himself above what he was created to do, he got kicked out of heaven. And then look at what God did. God turns right around, makes a man, makes a home for him, a beautiful home for him on this earth. And the Lord says, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit get together and they say, let's make man. How?
In our image.
What do you think the devil thought about that? That is not fair. I got kicked out for that and you turn right around and you make somebody to be just like you in your own image. I didn't even want to be higher than you. I just wanted to be like you. And God turns right around and he makes you to be just like him. I can see how Satan would hate us. Can't you? But you know, when he made that choice and he fell from heaven, don't get me wrong, he's not a good guy. Everything in him that was good turned exactly opposite and was perverted when he made that choice to be disobedient. He was disobedient to what he was created to be and to what he was created to do. But really, the bottom line was he wanted to be like you. And so the best he can do now is get you to do what he wants you to do. And why people, humans that understand these things, why we obey what the devil puts in our heads to do, I'm sure God goes, what are y'all doing? What are you thinking? He's got a great plan for us. God does. And Satan, who hates us, puts some little thing out there that's shiny and bright and colorful and attractive. And up till now, there's been no generation. Individual people have decided, I'm going to follow God. But there's not been a whole generation to just say, you know what, we're going all out for God. We're not going for anything you have to offer, Satan. But I'm telling you, that's what the Lord is calling you to. And so he says here, he starts this thing in the garden. It's communication sabotage. And he started it thousands of years ago, and he's still doing the same thing to you, between you and your parents. And he says things like, you think you're not going to get in trouble. He says that to her. Look here, let's keep reading this. She says, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. It's only the fruit in the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. She shouldn't even have been having a conversation with him. He had no right to talk to her. God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or if you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent said to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. So what he said right here is, God's not telling you the truth. You're not going to die. Now, your parents have said to you, do this or don't do this. I need you to obey me on this. And they give you an instruction. And what does Satan say? That's not going to hurt, or they're not going to find out, or that's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to hurt anything for you to still be friends with this person they've asked you to pull back from. What do they know? They don't know. Or he says this, they're just trying to keep something from you. They're just trying to keep you from having fun. My parents just don't want me to have any fun. My parents just don't want me to have any friends. They want me to go to school and be weird. Anybody ever heard anything like that from the enemy? Anybody? I see hands going like this. He just says the same old things, generation after generation after generation. What else did he say to her? He said, God's holding back on you. Did you know the word says that he will not withhold any good thing to the upright? He doesn't withhold things. He was not withholding on her. She was made in his image. She had all the wisdom available to her. Here the devil was offering her something that she starts to think, I need to get knowledge about something. He's right. I need to know about that thing. And instead of going to get it from her real source, from the Father, the devil put a separation between her and the real truth, her and the real knowledge. She had all the wisdom available to her. She was just like God. He said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want you to be that way. Yes, God wanted her to be just like him, didn't he? That's the way he created her. And so Satan lied to her, didn't he? He tricked her. But look, think about this for a second. Look at this other way he tricked her. Up until that point, had they known evil? No. Had they known good? You bet. She robbed God of an opportunity to teach her about evil from his perspective. She robbed God. Why? Because she decided, I can get that for myself. I can go get that for myself. All I have to do is eat that fruit, and I can have something of my own for myself, and I can get it myself without going to God to get it. And super kids, that's exactly the way the devil does you over things. You want to be entertained, and you think, I can go do this by myself. I can go watch this program. I can do this on the internet. I can get this information by myself. You want a girlfriend or a boyfriend because everybody else has one? I don't need God to do that for me. There's one. I'll take that one. When all the while, God already has all that fixed for you. See, it's just the same. And the devil comes in, and the first thing he did was put God over here and make her think he was her enemy in something. And that's what he does you with your parents. And so it says here that the woman was convinced, and she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. Isn't that something? She already had the wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. They're still, now they're in a place where, oh, everything we need now we have to get for ourselves because we've gotten out of the plan. And that's what happens. If Satan can just get you off of God's plan, then you're off in a place where then everything that you do, you got to do it yourself because you're separated from the plan of God. And you know what? I love the Lord because he'll help you all he can. You know what he did when he saw him? He made clothes for him. And it's just like that difference between what's a piece of clothing or what's a golf club. To them, fig leaves were clothing. God's like, let me do this part. Let me do this for you. So he gives them something a little softer than a fig leaf. A little nicer against the skin. He's so good. He'll do all he can. But boy, they took themselves right out of that garden, took themselves right out of the plan of God. And from that time, everything just went downhill. Nothing worked anymore. And before, where all they had to do was tend the garden. You know, when God said to them, when God said, you will toil, he said, from the sweat of your brow, you know, let's see, where does it say here? Listen to your wife and ate from the tree. The ground is cursed because of you. All your life you'll struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you'll eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you'll have food to eat. Did he have to sweat before this, before trying to do it himself? No, it was just all there. He didn't have to sweat. God wasn't saying, I am so mad at you from now on, you're just going to have to work. You're just going to have to sweat to get food. That's not the way he said that to him. He was like, you know, I could just hear my dad saying this, Sonny boy. He's like, I can't do it. I had all this. It worked. You didn't have to work hard. Now you're going to have to sweat to get food because the ground's not going to give it up for you anymore like it used to. He wasn't cursing them. He was telling them of the curse that was now on their life because they had made these choices. Super kids, God has such a great plan for you. And in these next few weeks,
as we tell you how to open up to your parents, as we tell you how to make this choice for the plan of God in your life, keep these things in mind. You either are going to have the sweet life or you're going to have to work to keep and to get and to scratch out something that's decent for yourself. And He'll help you all that you'll let Him. But you could instead decide to go with His plan that's already blessed. It's already laid out. It's easy. It's wonderful. But if you're going to make your own choices, you're going to be stuck too. If you're going to listen to the devil, I put down here on C, Satan's plan for you, he wants to separate you from your parents. He wants to separate you from the plan of God. He wants to disconnect you from what your heavenly Father has for you. You know, just Eve said, it says here that the woman was convinced because she saw how good the tree looked. You need to watch what you put in front of your eyes. We're going to talk about some of these things. I put down here, Satan wants you to hide. You know, they hid from God because He's the authority and now they're in trouble. He still loved them. He did His best for them. But when you get in sin, you're going to want to hide. You're going to want to hide things from your parents. You're going to want to hide things from God. It's time to just lay it all out. Lieutenant Commander Kim's going to come talk to you about laying it all out, putting it all out on the table. Why? So you can get in trouble? No. So you can have the life. It's all about having this life. We're going to help you over the next few weeks to connect to your mom and dad like you've never been connected before, or maybe like you've on a level that you've not connected before. We're going to help you because the devil wants to deceive you and he wants you to think they're your enemy or they're going to, I need to hide this from them. But you need to not only talk to them, you need to follow them, you need to listen to them. I always say, you know, your life in front of you is kind of like a minefield. Y'all know what a minefield is, where under the ground there's bombs in war, sometimes in war zones, and over in the Middle East and places like that, they plant these bombs and you can't see. In Vietnam, they used these a lot years ago, and that you can't see them, so someone would step on it and it would blow up. Well, that's the way the enemy has all these little things out there to try to catch your attention and try to get you off track. And you know, if you'll follow your parents through the minefield, you won't blow your legs off. Isn't that good news? You know why? Because they pray for you. They've got the wisdom of God for you. If they say go right, don't argue while you're walking. Go and keep going straight. You'll blow your legs off. Listen to them. They'll walk you through that. Them and Jesus will walk you through that minefield and you'll come out a whole person. You'll come out with both legs and both arms. Praise God. They are the biggest source. You know, as you're learning to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, your parents are your biggest teachers. They're telling you what the Spirit of God is saying. If you won't listen to them, then they're right in your face. How are you going to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside? If you can't be obedient to them and they're right here, it takes no faith or super spiritualness to hear what they have to tell you when they tell you to clean your room or take out the trash. If you can't listen to them, you won't listen to God. So they're here to train you. It's about training. They're here to teach you. They're here to help you not get your legs blown off. And really, they're here to walk you through these things. But you know what happens at your age and in the next couple of years? One reason we like to start with y'all at this age is because in the next few years, you just see it with people and their families. And parents go this way and kids go this way. And there's so many things, like even in books and stuff like that, magazines, they say, let your kids be their own person. Let them make their own decisions and, you know, don't look them in the eye and don't challenge them and baloney. Yeah. We're here for you. Your parents are here for you. When they tell you do this or don't do this, it's not because they want to be bossy. My word, we can be bossy without you. We can find somebody to boss that's a whole lot less trouble than y'all are. Less expensive, too. It's not about being boss. It's about helping you guys. It's about, and so as we talk about these things, you're going to build this communication with your parents. You're going to be your best friends to walk through the rest of your years with, and through these next, really the next 10 years for you guys are some of the most crucial years of your life. Are y'all ready? God's got a great plan. I tell you, we are excited about you and about what God has for you, and excited to see you guys, and your parents are excited to see you guys walking these things. We want you to get better than us. We want you to do more and bigger. We'll just follow you around and help you, in fact. We want you to excel and exceed in the life of God. Amen? Lieutenant Commander Kim, come on up. And give them all that good, good fun talk about communication.
I always get the fun one. I think they have meetings when I'm not around to see who gets to talk about the fun stuff. Communication is good. Amen. I'm so glad. I mean, obviously, God wants to communicate to us because he gave us this great book of words. That we're going to start in Hebrews 4:12. We're going to read what this word says before we get started. Hebrews chapter 4. We all know it, but we're going to go into it on purpose tonight. Communication is good. Amen. I'm so glad. I mean, obviously, God wants to communicate to us because he gave us this great book of words. That we're going to start in Hebrews 4:12. We're going to read what this word says before we get started. Hebrews chapter 4. We all know it, but we're going to go into it on purpose tonight. Verse 12 says, "For the word..." I'm reading now the Amplified. "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." Well, over the next 20 or so minutes, we're going to get into some scripture, and then I'm going to throw out several things. Some of this is opinion, so you know what you can do with it. It's great information. You take what you can practice in your house, what fits to your family. These are just things after working with kids for over 20 years that have been great. And especially since 2004 when we started this, we have done many counseling sessions. We have had many letters dropped in our box. We've had many emails, many questions, you know. And I would love to say we had all the answers at first. No, I think we made up some just to get you out of our room for a minute because we had to pray and find out. But over that time, we've really gone to the Lord and really press the word where this is concerned, because my opinion or someone else's opinion or Oprah's opinion or whomever's opinion is not going to help you. But the word, just like we read, that God speaks is alive and full of power. And the great thing about that, it's like instantly, Mom, the moment you had your baby, you didn't do everything perfect, but you just had a sense that you were going to be able to do it. And just an instinct happened that moment. You know, I think I'm going to be okay. I think I'm going to remember to bring this baby home when I leave in a couple of days. I think when they scream loud enough, I'll even remember to feed it. And it goes on in that. It's the same way with the word that you're putting in where Pure Life is concerned. How many of y'all have taken Pure Life already at least once before? Okay. It's good. I've heard this before. We've done it once. Why should we do it again? It's amazing what I have learned. I don't know how long we've been doing the read your chapter a day, but it's amazing what I read. You know, just even this past week, I was like, wow, I guess that wasn't in there last year when I was reading. It's amazing. It's wonderful. I even went and got CDs to put that in so I can start listening until I'm getting ready, just hearing somebody else talk to me about it. It even sounds different. So this year, what you're dealing with in pure life as a sixth grader, maybe in fifth grade you didn't think about. Some fifth graders right now are probably in just a minute when I start talking about some things may start slithering down their chair. So mom and dad, just help them back up. Listen to your ear if you want to, you know, some, can't believe she's going to say that. Yes, I am. We're going to say some things in here that the first time I thought angels were fleeing out the back of the doors when we were saying, we even had a hard time talking about some of these things in our meetings. We're like, we can't say that. We can't actually look at anyone in the eye when we're saying those words or we're talking about that stuff. So if we're having a hard time years ago talking about it, we know what happens in your house. Today, something happened. I'm going to bring that up. It's like, wow, this is a great two-edged sword, Lord. Thank you so much for bringing this pure life message before us. Really just given a rebirth, really. How society goes doesn't mean we always have to spend with it. And so I love it when Commander said that about, they don't want you to go to school and be weird. But you know, some things for Christians, we are weird. And that's okay. It's okay to be what everybody calls weird, because I guess to the Lord that's totally and completely normal, which is great. Because why? The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Super kids, the last part of this is where your parents come in. They're the ones that expose and sift and analyze. And they help you judge the very thoughts and purposes of your heart. Philippians, let's look at this real quick before we dive off into some stuff. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, pure, lovely and lovable, kind, winsome, gracious, if there be any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on, weigh, and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. How many parents in here work and get a paycheck? It's a beautiful thing. And what do you do with it? You go to the bank and you make a... Why do you do that? Because TXU is going to be calling and you need to make a withdrawal. Your kids start, I'm hungry. So the debit card works. You do that. You put something into your account so that when it's time to make a withdrawal, there's something there. You can go buy a new house tonight if you had $55 in your checking account. But sometimes we do that where communication is. We just expect these things of God just to come real natural to us. And that some things may. But I guarantee you, as we're growing in the faith, whether it's we're not having to deal with it in our own family or be that to someone else, there will be something along the way that you're going to have to get back in the Word and find that Word that's alive and that's powerful. And that's what this is saying. You have to communicate to your kids right now about those things that are pure, about those things that are lovely, about those good reports, their good report, which would be their reputation, the things that are lovely or how they're lovely. You know, creation is a lovely thing. We just have to put it in great perspective. The excellent things, you have to talk about all that. Why? Because there's going to be a knock on your door one day, super kids, and the devil or a pretty little girl or a handsome young man is going to want to withdraw from your heavenly account and send you a little note that says, will you be my boyfriend? Circle yes or no. It's amazing. Does that still happen? I saw one not too long ago in Super Kids. I was like, look at this. After all these years, circle yes or no. It's still the same. Same thing. 20 years later. I'm sure 20 years from now it'll be circle yes or no. So we have to communicate. Amen? And you know, for some people, it's very easy to sit down and go, you know, we're going to talk about sex tonight. And then there's, for some, it's like, honey, when your son comes in today, now is the time. And it's like you do, you get this deep voice or you get this, you got to go get a book and you got to go get all this stuff. And you know, all tools are great. I'm not discounting any of that. You have to do what you have to do. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is alive on the inside of a believer. And there's some things that only the Holy Ghost is going to be able to carve out from the inside of you. Now, He may tell you to get this tool and to get that thing, but communication is the key for this whole pure life. It is just the beginning. Does it get easier? Sure. Are there times that it's like, did we not discuss this the last 3 years? Please, child, I teach this, preach this. There's got to be a video recorder in your room going of me talking about this. And what part did you miss? Because we keep going around this. That's why Barney was so effective years ago to preschoolers. The same song over and over and over and over again. So kids, say, I love to talk about pure life. Over and over and over. Okay, y'all fell asleep on the like third over. And over again. Mom and Dad, say, I love to talk about sex and all other kinds of stuff with my kids. Now, I saw some red faces already starting, some parents even looking away. I remember drawing pictures before. Kylie's like, Mom, I wish you'd have kept them. They would have made a book one day. It was great. Whatever works for you, work it. If you haven't talked to your kids about sex, they probably know more than what you think they do. Or you may need to rearrange what they think it is and what it isn't. Because we go by the standard of the word, not what the world frames what sex is or isn't. But it's not even so much about sex even. I mean, yes, that's a piece of it. It seems like that's the key word for everything. You know, they want to talk about holding hands. They want to talk about that circle, yes or no. They want to talk about that funny feeling when that little boy walks by and it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a boy in the room. He doesn't stink so bad as what I thought he used to. Whack! That's my favorite, when boys whack and just hit the girl that they like. It's the funniest thing. Some things never change. So, we will sit in front of TVs. We will see things. Lots of sitcoms now. It's completely normal for the dad to be an idiot, the mom to be confused, some best friend running in and out with all kinds of information going back, the video going, kids with MP3 players, iPods and earbuds going, electronics happening, and we don't think we have to fight a real enemy right in front of our lives. We've watched just super kids being dropped off, just observing. And I've looked at it with my own kids. It's like they wake up to a talking alarm or their iPod. They immediately turn it on. The TV gets flipped on. There's some other kind of chatter going on in the bedroom while, you know, all this is happening. Then you get in your car and the two DVD players, sometimes there's two different DVD players, depending on which kind of car you have. There's a navigation system happening. All this conversation is going on. They're watching a DVD on their iPod as they're listening to some other music. And then we want to show them flannel graphs in children's ministry once they get here. It doesn't work. Or we want to have 5 minutes. Okay, son, do you know about sex? Everything good? Awesome. Okay, that's enough. Hopefully we'll make it through our high school class. You know, that's not going to work. So that's why I said over and over and over and over again. What is dating? What is not dating? What's our family? What's the goal for our family where this is concerned? We can't say this, this, and this. We just always throw out the highest bar. The highest bar is the standard that we find in the Word of no compromise. It's up to you, Mom and Dad, the road that you plow to that bar. There's no condemnation from us or from you or if you're there or if you're not. That's something you're going to have to define, but you have to talk about it. You have to outline what that is. You have to outline when they mess up. What happens? How do they come talk to you? I can tell you this, super kids, bad report card, something happened at school, so-and-so, whatever's happening that you know that you need to talk to your parents about. The time not to talk to them is when they're coming through the back door, head turned to the side because their phone's hanging on their shoulders. They have groceries, you know, we always care. I don't know why women do this. How many actual shopping bags can I get on one arm? as I'm kicking the door open, talking on the phone, moving, you know, and you're trying to do all this stuff, and it's the funniest thing. And then the kid's standing there going, I really messed up in school today. Super kids, that's a really bad time to talk to your parents. Or mom found out all that stuff. She's cool. She's had 2 or 3 hours to adjust. Dad walks in. Let me tell you what your child did. The one you created. This is your fault because I told you to have the talk with him. And I'm sure you messed it up. Or I'm sure that that 5-minute talk was not sufficient. That's not the time either. You have to sit down during times of non-confrontation. What does that mean? When nothing's going on. Setting your calendars for absolutely nothing. Man, that one hurts me sometimes. I'll be like, wow, our calendar is full. But you have to allow times to talk about it. Because the deal is, it seems like, I don't know, it's almost like kids are programmed somewhere in the middle of the night to want to talk to you when you're exhausted or want to talk to you as you have 12 deadlines, or they want to talk to you when people are about to come to your house and you're trying to, you know, get the last thing shoved in the closet and run the vacuum. And, you know, there's been times where you just have to shut it down and go, okay, let's talk about it. And then there's times where you say, you know what, right now is not a good time. I promise I'll get back to you. But then we have to go back to them, right? We have to make that time. Some things that help with your kids. Like we were talking about in the beginning, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't touch and you can't hold and you can't look and you can't be around and you can't talk and you can't text and you can't even listen to the voice recorder coming, you know, just all the stuff that we like to lay out. Hey, I've been there. It's great. You have to allow, especially as they start growing. I mean, there's sometimes I tell my 5-year-old, we're not doing this. I'm not asking for communication back at that point. It usually brings a negative connotation. But now, it fit with a 15-year-old, with a 12, 13, 14-year-old as they're growing, they process different than we do. They're a generation that has to look and touch and feel and move at the same time. So you have to give them a chance to walk through that with you. You know, we're a different generation. When our parents said, don't do that, most of us were like, the fear of God is on my father, so I'm pretty much going to not do what he said to do. But this generation, because they're just even as great as super kids, and this is where it goes, well, I'm talking faith. Yes, we are. Did he not say in the word that times get weirder, things get crunched, things get out of whack? The pressure's different on them than it is on us. And if Jesus tarries, it'll be different on their children. They'll be talking about things we don't even know how to spell. Or thank God for the internet, which you have to be very careful about what you put down, what you want to research. Woo! But you have to give them time to think about it and then come back. You know what? I know we talked about that. I'm a little full right now, Mom and Dad. Can we cut it loose right now? There were times where I'd say, no, we are going to talk about this all night long till you get it. Do you understand? Well, after about 3 hours later, she was done, you know, she was thinking about whatever. So I had to allow times for her to come back and go, you know what? That's fine. I'll honor that. Thanks for listening. Any questions? No. Okay. But you know, there are always questions always came when I learned how to just stop it and trust the Lord. That the word of God that I spoke to her was going to be quick and sharp and cut and pierce some things in her. As a parent, you love your kids. Kids, your parents love you, whether sometimes you want to admit it or not, or you want to get out of their presence sometimes. They wouldn't be here with you tonight if they didn't want to have some of these deep and revealing conversations and get flannel graphs and pictures and all this great stuff to talk to you about things. And so when they seem kind of weird or out of date or they want to grab a pencil and paper and start drawing stuff, just amuse them. Just let them. Then you'll get to come back one day and ask them a really fun question that'll just make them do the same thing. It's great. So emotions. Boys are just different than girls. I don't have one, but Commander and I talk about it quite often, the differences. And even just with super kids, we've noticed the differences. Girls are very demonstrative with their words. And they love big flowery words followed by 500 more. Boys are just quick and to the point. And so you have to realize that. And, you know, I know that's a big stereotype. But, I mean, for the most part, it's reality. Even with Riley, sometimes I'll go, Kylie, now talked about this. And then Riley would say, to summarize this, three words. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Okay. And so you have to learn how to talk to the child, just like it was saying Philippians that we just read. However it is for your nature, the Holy Spirit will show you. My Lord, they've been around you for at least 11 years now. You know their nature. Look for cues when they're like wiggling out of their seat or whatever. And super kids, look at your parents when they're wiggling. Because we do. Any parents get a little freaked out over the last year with something their child told them, anything? Okay, good. Thank you for being honest. Yeah, as soon as he said it, his eyes went. It's like, woo. I've just, our deal in our house is like, wow, thank you very much. We'll talk later. That's mom needs to go get in the word or find Jesus in a few minutes. I'll talk, pray in tongues, and then we'll come back and I'm ready to adjust. Let's dig into this. So play together. It's good to play with your kids. I'm telling you what, at Main Event, things just come out. It's amazing. Starbucks. Wow. The kids say, yes, amen. That was a word from the Lord. Set weekly time aside for nothing. Get to know your kids' friends. You know, I made a promise to the Lord years ago. I'm like, I will never turn away teenagers at my house or children ever. I want all the Friday nights to be at my house. I want every party in Jesus' name to be at my house. You know, that kind of thing. Sometimes you have to use your faith. And like I said, these are just opinions, so you can do whatever you want to on this. But man, it's a wonderful blessing to have my teenager's friends around the island in the kitchen. And they just start dumping. You're just like, wow, I just gave them sugar cookies and some icing. It's free pizza. And they're just talking for hours and asking me my opinion. Wow, that's really a blessing from the Lord. Or your mom's pretty cool. She listens to you. Not knowing, you know, you're hitting your knees 15 minutes later. Jesus, thank you for the word. Thank you for pure life. Thank you for showing me things that I didn't know. Thank you for the word of being alive tonight in ways that I didn't know. Piercing and helping. Get to know other parents. This one is real fun too. It's not convenient. You know, I was so excited this year. My daughter said she wanted to have this friend over. And I said, okay, that's fine. Have them come over. And she was like, Mom, their parents won't let them come over because they don't know you. I was like, wow, that's the first time I've heard that. Now, I've said that to her, but I've never had that come back to me. That is sowing seed all those years back. And so I was like, wow. So it was inconvenient. There were, oh, cut your calendar to look like, what's mine? What about this? We just made ourselves available. You tell us what works for you. We'll come to wherever you're at. We'll buy you dinner. Let's get to know each other. It also, I don't know, it was just, after that was over, she was like, thanks, Mom and Dad. That really meant a lot. That bought something. And I'm so thankful for that. So get to know other parents, even in the church. I'm going to say this. You may hold on to your seat. Just because somebody's been here and you see their face does not mean they're on the same page with you. We are all growing in the things of the Lord. Amen? And so you just don't know. That's why we always say the church doesn't raise your child. You do. We're just a tool to help you. So even in the church, you have to know. This side has to know this side. The front has to know the back. Don't take it for granted. That one went over well. Watch your words, tone of voice, facial expressions, and body language. Both, that was to the super kid, and that was to the parent. Lieutenant Chris, come up here for just a second. We're going to do a couple of funny ones, I hope. We'll just see how funny we are tonight, Lieutenant Chris. We'll see. This is what happened to me today. As I stayed home and prayed today and studied for this, it was great. The Lord showed me this a while ago. I was like, thanks, Lord. That was great. So went to school today to pick up my kids. Been with Jesus all day. Hadn't really been in work very much, just with the Lord. Somebody called me. I mean, I was turning the corner to the school. Answer the phone. And you know, now that I look back at it, I thought, I'm going to call him back in a minute. And I was like, man, I need to ask this person something. So I'm turning, four or five cars in front of me, doing my thing. And I turned the corner and I saw, you know, the little kid, like, look up at you like, Mom, it's me. And I went, I have to call you back. But you know how many times I've done that, picked up my child. They just got in the back of the car and I just kept on doing whatever I was doing away from them for 8 hours. It's amazing to me how much a kid will download in 5 to 7 minutes. And then about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, when you're done with work and dinner and all the stuff, hey, son, how was your day?
It was great.
Anything happen?
Nope.
Anything I should know about?
Nope.
Well, that was a great conversation, son. You're a great boy. You know? And so that's what happens. Literally, the 500 words, it's like, blah, 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 blah. And you know, there are sometimes kids, give your parents a break. There's sometimes that they have to be on the phone for something. We do work. It's a beautiful thing too. But just be observant of that. Watch it, because sometimes that nonverbal communication has a high voice in their life. I mean, how many of you as a parent, how many of you super kids have a phone or an iPod or something that keeps your mind occupied? The Wii. Okay. And mom and dad walks into the room and they're like, hey, how are you doing? They can text like 70 words a minute. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Then you have to. One time I was like, Kylie, you're not listening to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we're going to the next level. Your eyes are looking at me, but your finger's not. Put it down. And so, you know how you feel as a parent, don't you? I wish they would just talk to me. So you're banking something in an account. You're sowing seeds sometimes. You know, we're not going to get all weird about it or anything, but just, it's something to think about. Amen. This is a very bad way, and I'm sure one that I've been guilty of in the very long past. Hey, son, how's it going?
Great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I met this girl today, and man, her name is Sabrina.
What?
She is so
what?
Pretty. I mean,
hey, red. Okay, you know what? We just need to stop. Hey.
Eyes, it's gorgeous. Great. Name's Sabrina.
You're going to have to wait till your dad gets home. I cannot believe I have raised you, you ungrateful thing. Have you not been in Pure Life? Did we not talk about dating and sex and not touching girls and not looking at? Did we not talk about that? You know what church we go to.
Yeah.
You know we're life group leaders. Come on. I'm setting an example here.
Yeah. You got anything else for me?
You know what? You just need to go to your room.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, whether or not, you know, it goes to that extreme, I've said before, and, you know, why are you doing this to me? Well, one, it's nothing about you, because love isn't selfish. The devil hates your kid's guts. That's what it's about, is staking hold of that claim. Here's some questions. These are real questions. Probably none of these in the room, but these are questions that have come up over the past few years, and you go, why do we need to communicate? Here are some questions that the kids sent to us or dropped us an email. Some we answered in the past, some we haven't. Same, these are fifth and sixth graders. Why do friends pressure you? Talk about it. If I talk to my parents about sex, they'll think I want to have it. How do you stop your boyfriend from having early sex? That was a fifth grade question. What is sex? That was like one of my favorite. I love it. I'm like, okay, it's time to give. Let's talk about it. Is it all right to have a close friend of the opposite sex? How do you know if the person that asked you to marry them is the right person? I think God told me who I should marry, but I'm confused. Why do we have to keep talking about this? I'm going to have a hand analyzer go on that one just to see if it was... No, I'm just kidding. I've kissed a person on the mouth before because we were going out. How do I tell my parents? My parents have high expectations for me, especially about dating. What do you do if you messed up? I'm confused about some of the shows and bad movies my parents watch. How do I talk to them? I feel like my parents love their jobs more than me. I have challenges about admitting what I did wrong. This is a big one. How do you get rid of secrets? How can people think it's okay to be gay? Is it okay to be gay? How do you tell your teacher you don't want to do something because it's against what you believe? Is it okay to go in Christian chat rooms? And you know, there's tons of them that we get. But I mean, if you think, not my child. Yes, your child. If not, your child's friend.
Say, I will.
I will.
That was not everybody. Say, I will.
I will.
Tell.
Tell.
My parents.
Everything.
Everything that I've been holding back. Anything and everything that might be embarrassing that I've done, that I've watched, that I've seen, that I've been hiding, I will tell. This is my chance to get totally clean. And get everything out of my life that might connect me to the devil's plan. And you know, super kids, that's including stuff that maybe you face at school that you've just thought in the past, you know, my parents couldn't handle this. If they knew that my best friend did such and such and such and such, they would make me quit being friends with them. Or they might make me change schools, or I might, I don't know. All of those things that you've thought in the past, you've just promised me that you would tell them everything, right? Now, Mom and Dad, raise your right hand. Say, I will not freak out.
Not freak out.
I will
not be
uncomfortable.
Not be uncomfortable.
Or I won't show it.
I
will be supportive.
I will
speak words of wisdom,
and love.
And I will discipline as necessary.
As the Lord leads.
Now look at your child and say, I promise you,
I will handle your information
by the instruction of the Lord.
I will do just what He says to do.
You can trust me.
Now, isn't that nice?